We're up to Ayis Gimel, Seif Gimel, in this supplementary perek to Ayis HaTorah. It's long, we're not going to be able to finish it. We'll try to understand everything that we're learning from Rav Kook. Is talking about not only by Yom HaHem, but really Bizman HaZeh. You can understand why there were people who in his time were rattled by what he was teaching. They were having a problem with what he was teaching. Because even now, when we've come to the brink, what a friend of mine described as what it was like being on the, what it must have been like being on the Titanic, when the iceberg was like right around the corner and everybody was like dancing at a party. That's what things look like. So we have to really, really try to connect. And we shouldn't feel helpless. Somebody was talking to me during the week that he understands what Rav Kook is saying and it's unbelievable and we have to do something, but we're up against such an establishment of that's so entrenched in a 1967, whatever it is, 65 way of thinking. But you know, the truth is that I'm seeing all the time that changes and openness. I was Baruch Hashem in a chasna every night this week, more than one. And the chasna the other night, there was a wonderful Jew, the principal of a Beis Yaakov from out of town. And he came to talk to me. We were talking about he wants to do something that the girls there, he sees that there's something missing. They're wonderful girls, but there's something in Pnimius. And we had a long conversation, and he wanted to continue the conversation about things that could be done in the school in a way that wouldn't be too shocking and scary, just simple and good to begin to enter the panemius. I said, you know, you gave me such a chiyus. It's starting. Haruim liyais mudrochim mechelika machshava shebetara b'chochmas elokim. Look, not everybody is able to, at least in Galus, before Mashiach comes, not everybody is able to Liyas mudrach mechelik machshava shebetayru v'chachmas elokim. Not everybody now is really up to that, being mudrach, being drawn and led into the world of machshava in Torah and chachmas elokim, the deeper way of Torah. Not everybody is in that parish, but many are. I mean, could be. In that parasha. So those who are ruim lis medrachim mechelik ha-mashosh b'tari v'chachmas alakim, she be'emes kelelas kol ha-tari v'kol ha-chachma v'chol tzadeh, which in truth includes in it kol ha-tari, kol ha-chachma v'chol tzadeh, all of chachmas alakim, everything that the Baruch Shalom, all the Baruch Shalom's thoughts, kivyachol, that he revealed in this world, are to be found in Pnimiyas ha-tari. Even to understand the meaning of what the birds are saying to each other. Everything in the world is in Chochmas, the Chochmas Elokim. So those who are Ruim, those who are able to understand these things, who are able to learn these things, Einem Rishayim, the Einem Yichaylum Lishtamin B'Kishroinim Zeh. There are two things here, he says. Einem Rishayim, the Einem Yichaylum Lishtamin B'Kishroinim Zeh. They are not allowed, they're not permitted, nor are they able to run away from this Kishon, from this ability that they have. Einem Rishayim, the Einem Yichaylum. Now, you want to stick to the old school and say, what do you mean Einem Rishayim? Kind of Einem Rishayim. They're very choshev a big Talmid Chacham and Rosh Hashivas that it doesn't seem that they were Isaac in Chachma Chachmas Elokim and Pnimiyas Chachma. It doesn't seem like that, even though Nobody really knows what any of these Talmid Chacham are doing on their own, but it doesn't. It seems there are some that they're not Isaac in it at all. So what does that mean? Einim Rishoyim, not allowed. So there will be people who argue with that. What do you mean? Who's to say you're allowed to do? You know that kind of stuff. Who's to say you're allowed to do this? And maybe then. But the second thing is more interesting. First is Einim Rishoyim. First Rav Kook says those who are able to learn Pnimius, who are able to enter into the Chochmas Elokim, they're not permitted to run away from it. But he says it's not just a matter of not being permitted, not being allowed. The Ikka is Einim Yecholim. They're not able to run away from it. Ulashki es atzmam rak b'dvarim maisim. As much as they try, they're not able to run away from Pnimius and to immerse themselves completely just in practical matters of Torah. The Dvar Maisim, practical areas of Torah and learning and mitzvahs and ma'asim Torah. They're not able to. Forget about being not any mishon. You want to argue with that? You could argue. But any mishon. Shlachar, you could argue with that too. What do you mean? Then why aren't they doing it? If you're saying they can't run away from this kishron. They can't run away from this koyach that they have to be mashkia themselves in chachmas elokim and pnimius. So how come we don't see that? You think that there would be a big, big light in the world? If all of these Jews not being able to hold themselves back from chachmas elokim. So Kook goes on to explain. Some of you might remember the famous piece from the Piasetzna in Sava Zirutz, where the Rebbe talks about the need of the soul, how the neshama needs to learn with excitement and to daven with excitement, and if it doesn't receive its quota in Avodas Hashem, it's going to seek it elsewhere, even in cheap or disgusting things. If one wants to understand the nature of our generation, this time that we're living in, and to have a bit of insight into the insanity, I don't mean the insanity in the outside world, in the Goyish world. That is something else. We were talking a little bit about that before. The Welt in general. In our own little world of Torah mitzvahs, of Jews Hashem mitzvahs, one of the greatest insights into understanding what's going on is that as we draw closer to Mashiach, and these big, big neshamas are aching to connect to what's natural to them, and they're being held back from connecting. We spoke a lot about the chutzpah before Mashiach comes in Eretz HaTshuva, and even in Eretz HaTorah as well, we've discussed it. So, can a person run away from himself? I think we've all tried that, no? You can run away from yourself. Can a person run away from the deepest need of his soul? Yeah. Why people do that? There could be a lot of reasons. That's not important right now. But can a person run away from the deepest need of his soul? Absolutely. A person can commit suicide, lo aleinu, quickly, or you can take the slower, less scary mahalach, which is over the course of 120 years. It plays itself out to run away. Hapagam hazeh shebenav shem yizgala. So, Rav Kook writes, this is before the Pisetzna wrote Savazirus, that Hapagam hazeh shebenav shem, that this pagam, meaning the unfulfilled need to connect to something deeper in Yiddishkeit, in learning, to connect to Chochmas Elokim. This blemish, this emptiness, this begam, Shebenavsham, Yizgala V'yero, Kamar Talmud Chochem Shoshana appears. Now you remember that piece in the Pizetzna? So the Rebbe writes that either the person will pour his energy into the need of the soul, Torah and Tefillah and so on, or he could pour it into disgusting things, God forbid, or there's another possibility. He could become sick, emotionally ill. Become emotionally ill. So what Rav Kook is saying here is that one can run away from that need of that of the soul. Not every Jew feels this need. Many people are not ru'uyim right now before Mashiach comes, for whatever reason, it's not important. But those who are ru'uyim and run away from it, so Rav Kook says, ha'pagam hazeh sheben hashem yizgal v'yirah. Oh, the damage will eventually be manifested in their lives. So the Pizetzna was talking about different ways that it's manifested. Could be a craziness and a hefkeris of things of this world. Could be that the person loses himself into all kinds of philosophies and ideologies and apokrysish things. But the pagam will come out. Could come out, again, as an emotional illness. Of an unfulfilled emptiness, that comes from an unfulfilled emptiness, could come out in ways, in a way of breaking down all the gedarim of holiness between men and women. Pagam habris. In a terrible, terrible way. But it's going to come out. Habagam hazeh shebenashem yizgala v'yeroa. It'll come out. Yizgala v'yeroa. It'll be mizgala. It'll be revealed v'yeroa, and it will be seen. How will it come out? In what way will it come out? There's so many possibilities. But it'll come out. K'may talmud chochem sheshono upirish. One of the worst things that we have, that Chazal tell us about such a Jew, is when you have a Talmud Chacham Sheshana Upireish. A Talmud Chacham, somebody who learned Torah, a Talmud Chacham Sheshana Upireish, and he went away. People like that have caused terrible, terrible destruction to themselves and to the world. Talmud Chacham Shapirish. The Gemara says, "Mitzachem kosher mikulam." It's the worst thing. Stam a yid, a simple Jew that doesn't know anything, and he doesn't have anything, any big hole inside of his heart and emptiness, and he just is he does his thing. But when you get a Talmud Chacham Shoshana, when you get someone, and here it doesn't have to be that we're talking about, as you'll see, if Cook interprets this Gemara, not just to mean someone who's like a big Talmud Chacham. Someone who has the kishrinus, the kaiches, of really, really understanding on a deeper level. Upirish. And he goes away from that. He runs away from it. It's kosher mikulam. It's the worst thing. These are the most tzibrachana mentioned in the world, the most dangerous people in the world. And usually, I should say, oftentimes, the most creative people in the world. The most creative people. It's brought down in the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim that the Chofetz Chaim was once very, very sharp. There was a Jew who came to visit him. And the Chavetz Chaim HaFtai was Tzadik Yisraelim, and everybody was treating like the person was the Kohen Gadol. The Chavetz Chaim was treating everybody. There was somebody that came in, and the Chavetz Chaim didn't want to look at him, didn't want to talk to him. Didn't want to look at him, didn't want to talk to him. And he was an old Jew. And the people over there were very surprised. Chofetz Chaim didn't want to talk to him. Right? And the people there felt bad, whatever, and they pushed the guy in. And the guy, the Chofetz Chaim's son, said this over. And the guy is an old Jew with a nice beard. And he came to Chofetz Chaim and says, Rabbi, did I do something that I can't get a bracha, that I can't come to you? So Chofetz Chaim asked him, what town are you from? So I don't remember, he told him the town. He said, you remember many, many years ago, whatever it was, 40 years ago, you were a Malamed in that town, a Rebbe in the town, a Malamed, for all the years, yeah. Remember 40 years ago, you had a Talmud, his name was Label. So this is his label. I had a label. I had a lot of labels over the years. So Chofetz Chaim says, a guy's Label Trotsky. Now, if that name doesn't ring a bell, it means that you should, take a look again at history, your history books. That's Leon Trotsky. He wasn't a Talmud Chacham, but he came from a very, very Erlich Chum family. The reason that the Chofetz Chaim was angry with this person is that this person was Doicher Leon Trotsky, Label Trotsky, which stayed on as a Rebbe. Trotsky was a brilliant kid, and he was a troublemaker. And this Rebbe, now this old man, gave him the business, boom, 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 gave him a very bad taste of Yiddishkeit, whatever that was at that time, and Label Trotsky became Leon Trotsky, who was one of the big, big machrivim of the 20th century. And he himself died at Tzibrach and Mensch, I think, in Mexico somewhere in the end.
He was murdered
in Mexico, right? He was in Mexico. He was in Golis. A whole nice with him. A Tzibrach and a Yid. A brilliant, brilliant Tzibrach and a Yid. And Chofetz Chaim didn't want to look at this person, this Rebbe. You could have been Makarv him. You know what the world would be? A different world. If you were Makarv Label Trotsky instead of touching him and sending him away. So there's an Indian that a person who has Kishrinus, who has Kaichus, if he doesn't, you understand, if he runs away from his Kaichus, or if he's sent away, he's pushed away from his Kaichus and his Kishrinus of Chachmas Elokim, it's Kosh Mikulam. These are from the most dangerous people. You don't have to be a Leon Trotsky, you don't have to be such a brilliant person and such a big person. You could be a little regular guy in yeshiva, like one of the fellows from here told me that he was learning in a yeshiva and he had a Belvavi Mishkan Evna that he was learning at breakfast time. Not during the Seder, at breakfast. And the Rebbe looked at this and he said, what is this? And he says, this is a Sefer. I heard about it. I was learning. And the Rebbe looked at it for a second, he said. And said, that's not, we don't have such an Indian. And he threw it like, this is not for us. He touched it up like that. It's not for us. Okay, so what's the little bracha supposed to do? It's not for us. So either people run away or they're sent away. But Tam Pashut, Rav Kook explains, the reason is obvious. Neshiyesh like Kishrin Nisgav, this person has a Kishrin Nisgav, he has great talent and great kaiches. This Iris Gedor L'Dvar Nalim. And not just that, but he has his Iris L'Dvar Nalim. He has an awakening within himself to connect to higher things. Like this boy. He wants to have a Kesher with God. I know that sounds very odd for an Orthodox Jew to want that. But he wants to have a relationship with God. It's very radical. Like one of the guys told me that somebody read that article, everyone says it's very controversial, even though he didn't read it. He heard that it was controversial. And I was wondering, as my friend was like, it was just about God, what's so controversial about God? But it became a controversial topic. It's interesting, isn't it? That among Orthodox Jews, God is controversial. I'm not talking about something like, you know, hippies or yippies. Just the Rabbi Shalom. Just the Muna 001. It's controversial. What are you saying? Are you saying? You're saying? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that you should believe in God, and it would be good to talk to the children about God. Oh, you hold. What do you hold? I hold that we should be talking to the children from the very earliest age about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that when they get older, they could fill the need of the soul with their Baruch Hu instead of with the girlfriends that you don't like. Oh, that's what you hold? Yeah, that's what I hold. I thought that's what we all heard together. Remember, we were standing together? I thought that we all heard that. That became already controversial nowadays. In certain circles, that's already controversial. What are you trying to say? I mean, these are the conversations I've had with people since I wrote that. You wouldn't believe it. And phone calls and messages that I've gotten, a thousand times more positive with his chaskas. But an interesting collection of comments, kind of the cloud didn't understand what it was about, but then like, these kind of things, this is controversial. You know, Abidavka wrote over there, for those who saw it, Abidavka wrote, this is not to take away any of the regular seder of learning. Other Rabbi, it can make the regular seder of learning more meaningful and more exciting. There's no question that if someone believes in God, it's much more fun to learn, no? It's more fun to learn Gemara if you believe in God. It's much more fun to learn Chumash and Rashi if you believe that the Chumash, that the Torah comes from Shemaim. I think that's much more interesting, much more enjoyable. So personalize the Hesoiris G'dayla Dvar Na'alim. Hesoiris G'dayla Dvar Na'alim. And he runs away from it. Or he's sent away from it. As long as this Jew is busy with the Eitz HaChaim, the Tree of Life, of course that's a hint to the Arizal, but it means Pnimius HaTorah, Chachmas Elokim, V'HaTorah Mechaye Es Nishmasai, and this deeper Torah is Mechaye Es Nishmasai. Could be he tried with other learning, could be he tried. I'm not talking about someone that's dumb. A person that isn't connected to learning. He cares about Torah. He learns. But it wasn't Mechayi's Neshama. And he's Mukhshar. And he has the Koiches. Of course, it's even for a person who doesn't feel that. But especially such a person. As long as he's Kolzman Shu Osuk Be'etzachayim Va'atari Mechayi's Neshmosa Yeshu B'melo Ha'itzias Kishreina. He has a platform. He has a way to bring out his deeper needs, his deeper koiches. The koich his arus, koich his oiris nafshay ledvarim toivim biyikarim. So he could use this his oiris, this need to love and to be loved, this need to emote, this need to express, this need to feel things deeply. He's able to bring out these needs, which are holy and healthy needs of the soul. He's able to bring out these needs in what? Dvarim Tovim V'Yikarim. Dvarim Tovim V'Yikarim. To me, the second the Rebbe slammed the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna on the table, he didn't slam it on the table, he threw it down the table. The second he did that, he took the boy and he threw him into the club. He threw him into the theater, whatever, the club. He threw him into there. When he threw the Bilvavi there, he threw that kid into that place. We threw him into the street to look for somebody else, something else, some other way to feel something in life. Not that Pnimius HaTorah is a kli for broken-hearted people, Chas V'Shalom. That's not Chas V'Shalom. It's Chochmas Elokim. And there are many, many, many Yidden, religious and not religious, Jews, who are mukhsharim, mamish for this, who have a need for that Chochmas Elokim. It has that begam of it, of the unfulfilled longings of that person, that begam must come out. It'll come out in different ways. Each person comes out in a different way. You have people who in their relationships, in their marriages, are overly needy. Overly needy. I have sometimes, there'll be a wife that says to me that, If I don't tell my husband every single day, 10 times, you're the greatest, you're this, I love you, you're the love of my life. Or if she's not going to be warm with him in other ways, he's totally tzabrachim, he can't talk, he can't work, he can't eat. Men. I'm not talking about the traditional position, role that it was the other way. I'm talking about guys. Tzabrachim a mensch. Tzabrachim a mensch. My wife only told me today 4 times that she loves me. Usually it's at least 7 or 8 times. That's why I have to go to therapy. That's why I'm an unhappy person. The neediness is one way that it comes out. There are people who are emotionally needy. Of course, there could be all different kinds of inyonim that have to be dealt with sometimes professionally, oftentimes professionally, sometimes even medically. Not discounting all of the other factors. The pnimius of the needy soul is that there's something that's not happening. There's something that the neshama is not getting. So what happens? So this poor lady, she's a nice girl that he married, he's looking for all of his pnimius from this lady, and she's trying to raise the kids and, you know, sometimes work and to cook and do other stuff. And and she's got this little puppy dog of a husband that comes like, you know, he's chalishing for another I love you, another this, another that. And then he's waiting there, and she didn't give him because he's too oizgimitshid with her inyanim in life. And even if she wouldn't be, there's a shear, you know. So then the husband is sitting there like a dog waiting for her to throw him a bone. And she's trying to get the kids off to school or something, whatever. It's just in this world. And then he starts to talk about it. I don't know. He can't talk to her. He doesn't talk to her. And she says, is something wrong? No. Everything is okay. You sure? Is there something wrong? He says, no, everything is okay. And then she chas shalom says, oh, okay. Then it's very, very bad. You know that. So she's supposed to say, no. I know, honey. Something is wrong. Tell me. Did I do something? And then he says, well, it's not something that you did. It's something that you didn't do. And then she goes, here we go. And she has to say, what is it? Oh. And she has to now listen to the 10,000th time how I didn't give you what you needed. You've heard of such a yonim. You didn't give me what I... Why? Because there's a certain quota. I didn't get the quota of what I needed. Gashmis, Neruchnis, Amevin Yavin. I didn't get the quota of what I needed. There are people who go like that. Year after year after year, living such a life. So they have, there's a person that has hesayrus hanefesh, and there's a need of the soul. As the Piyazesna says over there, that the soul by nature needs excitement, and it needs ahava, it needs. And it's not getting its quota in what? In chachmas elokin, in Torah, in tefillah, in pnimius haTorah. It has to come out in different ways. That's one of the ways that it comes out. There are many variations of that theme. But that's one of the ways that it comes out. The needy guy. The desperate, needy man. Always fishing for love and fishing for compliments and so on. Comes out. But the women, you have your own inyan, you work that out. I'm talking now for the guys. This inyan. More and more of it as we get closer to the Mashiach. Because there's more of an emptiness. Because there used to be such a tzura, at least it seemed that way, there was a tzura of a man that was more self-sufficient. He wasn't so dependent upon his wife for everything. If my wife smiled at me, oh, then it's a good day. If my wife pouts, then it's a bad day. As we get closer to Mashiach, and this need is greater, and the emptiness is felt in a stronger way, it seems that the self-sufficient, strong man is disappearing, slowly disappearing. And that's affecting the world in many, many, many ways. It's not for here, but it's in so many ways the world is being affected by that. By that strange weakness that's coming out in many of the male species. It's coming out. If a person pauses kaiches into the Eitz Chaim, the Teres Mechayis Nishmasai. Yesh lo v'melo ha'itzias kishroni v'koichas oyus nafshu d'vam toivim yikarim. Instead of sitting around hacking his wife and making her crazy. Or sitting in the library trying to read something from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Looking for something beautiful and deep and moving and so on. So you understand that he doesn't have to go anywhere. He uses Yesh lo v'melo ha'itzias kishroni v'koichas oyus nafshu d'vam toivim v'yikarim. D'vam toivim v'yikarim. Each person on his own level. Aval kishe pirish min ha'tayra v'ak. Now Rav Kook is interpreting pirish min ha'tayra. Now he's taking the concept from the Gemara v'tamachachem shon of a pirish. V'tamachachem went away from. Now in the Gemara it means a tamachachem who left Yiddishkeit, like Acher, you know, something like that. That, but Rav Kook is deepening our understanding of that Talmud Chacham Shoshan Upirish. It means anybody who is Mukhshif a Chachma and he's denying himself that Chachma. That's a Talmud Chacham Shapirish. Aval kishapirish min ha'tarah v'ha'koyach shenimtze b'metzias lo yishaket. That koyach that's inside of him to be connected to Chachma Selukim, we'll call that now Talmud Chacham, to be connected to Chacham Shalom, that doesn't just go away. That Korach, that Kishron that he has for that, it just doesn't go away. Lo yishaket. It's not quiet. It's not silent. Al-Kain me'efis his oirus l'toiva, since it has no material, it can't, if for whatever reason this soul is being denied the Eitz Chaim, the Tree of Life. For whatever reason. But me efes is oiris l'toiva hu poel ara. That need comes out in a bad way. It comes out in a negative way. Hu poel ara. If you meet this rose, all depends each person according to his midas, imperfected midas, messed up midas. If you meet this rose, or tchunas rose, there's no shortage of, he says, in the heart of a person. All kinds of bad meters. He says, there's no shortage of. There's no shortage. Each person has his menu of things that need fixing. So for this person, all of those unfinished things, all of those imperfections are going to be charged with the energy of his longing. Of his emptiness, of the hisoyrus. He has a hisoyrus. If it would be Lataiva, then it would be Givaldi. It would be Chachmas Elokim and more Torah Mitzvahs and more Midas Taivas and everything. But because of the matzav that he's in, and he's not either allowed or he's running away or he's sent away from that hisoyrus. So Rav Kook says, it's kishaparish ma'or ha'tayrah. It's the same thing. He's running away from the light of Torah. So when he's running away from the light of Torah, then the hisayrus is poel l'ra. And that's why it could bring out davke much worse midas, much more horrible things and crooked things than in a simple, sweet Eilich HaYid. A little tehillim zogah. The little Tilum Zog, you'll see him can have nicer midas, be an easier guy, and a better friend, and a better husband, a better wife, a better friend, than this deep, stormy person. Right? Poshut HaYid, a nice Jew. It's wonderful, caring, generous, friendly, good-natured. It's interesting. And you get this person, this Amkan, this deeper person, the Baal HaSoyrus, and it could be terrible. Just terrible. On so many levels. Sure. That's exactly by Isaiah. That's exactly what was the meaning. That's Isaiah and Achad, these great people. And that's where Rav Kook got into trouble when he wrote about Isaiah, when he wrote about Yashke. He got into such trouble because the people in Yerushalayim didn't understand what was he saying. Smart people. But living in such a bubble that they couldn't understand what was Rav Kook saying. He spoke about Yashke, about Oysa Ish having tremendous kishwanis and tremendous koiches. If Yoshke would have learned Tanya, it wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened if he would have learned Kisvairi, and he could have. He could have. He was a big person. That's all that Rav Kook said over there. Rav Kook was saying because he was such a big person, he was able to bring such a big churban. This simple little Jew that's saying Tillim in the corner and he's smiling, he's not making big tikkunim in the world. He's not making big churban in the world. Yoshke made a big churban. Big churban because he was a big person. And Shabtai Tzvi Yimakshima wasn't a big person. To make such a mess, you have to be a big person. You and I could scream and yell, von Heidbis Morgan, we wouldn't have, you know, half or two-thirds of European Jews ready to march to Yerushalayim, selling everything they own, to go to Yerushalayim and to build the Beis HaMikdash. Shabtai Tzvi must have been some knacker. I mean, to do such a thing? What is it? The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh had terrible agmas nefesh over what happened to the Neshama Shabtai Tzvi. And we know from the Svarim that he was working hard to make tikkunim for him, to help him. And he risked his life, the Baal Shem Tov. We know from the Svarim, he was risking his life in this world and the next world to try to help the Neshama of Shabtai Tzvi. And there was somebody else, I don't even like to say his name, there was a big Rosh. It was also a false Mashiach after that time. His name, it was such a Moses, I can't even say his name. But had also followers, thousands of followers, into the 20th century. But these weren't great people. That's all Rav Kook said. He said Yoshke was a great person. And he spoke about how low he was. Of course, but that was the part of the letter that was not put up on the wall in Meisharm, right? The koiches, the kishwainis that Yoshke had. When he was able to be poil such a thing in the world, such a churban in the world, to bring such a tumma, such a sheker that came from him. I mean, most of that stuff he never spoke about, but was mistalsha from him such a tumma? From Isaiah, such a tumma that to this day, that such that the whole world is black from that tumma. A klinikite, it was a small person. And that's why the Gemara, that's why Chazal are critical of his Rebbe as well. Because the Rebbe saw in Yoshke that he was up to trouble, especially in Yonim with the women. He had certain in Yonim, and he was not behaving as a proper yeshiva bacher. And his Rebbe was doicha b'shtei yadayim. His Rebbe, like Witrotsky, his Rebbe pushed him away b'shtei yadayim instead of small doicha yamin mekareves, to give him a patch, but with a twinkle in the eye. And to bring him in. So what came out from Isaiah? A churban until Mashiach, this darkness of Isaiah is the thickest klipa in the world. Not the Yishmaelim. The thickest klipa in the world is a klipa of Isaiah. Yishmaelim is a paradigm of something else. The Yishmaelim is a Yodai Richter of Isaiah. Yishmael is just a henchman, you know, the executioner. The executioners, Yishmael, they're the ones that actually blow up the bombs. But the kishroiners come from, the orders come from the Vatican, you understand? That's where they come from. The orders come from that tomb of Isaiah. Yishmaelim are shikyingles, messenger boys. Because there's a paradigm, so they like doing, they have fun, you know, putting together bombs, blowing them up, they like that. They like that. They enjoy blowing things up and killing. They have a chiyus from that. Death is something which is very much a part of their lives. They enjoy that. And the Esavnik is the Vatican people. They don't like to get their clothing dirty. You understand? They like to wear the Shemana Beguda. They have nice everything. They like to look nice. They don't like to get dirty. And Yishmaelim don't mind. So they send the Yishmaelim. They that's what happened. That was what was the inni between Hitler and the Reish of the Yishmaelim from Yerushalayim at that time, a Reish of Marusha. Well, Hitler makes fun of the Hitler hated Muslims. No, they're also to him they were after the Jews. He wasn't going to wipe out every Muslim in the world. Hitler. The Yishmaelim, Hitler was making fun of the Yishmaelim. He said he has here a couple of 100 million chevra that they know how to kill, and he could have some use for them. And after he's finished with them, then he would kill them too. The gypsies were not mukhsharim, if you know about gypsies. My parents grew up in places where they were hanging around the gypsies. My parents were there. And for them, the Nazis didn't have any in you. What are we going to do with the gypsies? So they killed them right away. But the Ishmaelim, there's something you could do with the Ishmaelim. But the Ishmaelim is not the Shoresh. The Shoresh is Oysa Ha'ish, that klipa of Oysa Ha'ish. That klipa of Oysa Ha'ish is so thick, and it goes back to his Rebbe, who was Doichver B'Shtei Yadayim, pushed them away. And if the Chofetz Chaim could talk to, could go back in time and be in that cheder, what would be? Okay, we're not massive. These are great. This is the time of the Tanoim. We have no Hasaga. Obviously, this Hashgach of Protis, how Hashem makes it, allows such a darkness to come to the world of Isa Ish. That's part of the plan, I guess. What are you going to do? Well, Chalzais, you shouldn't think that Yoshka wasn't a person of big Hisiris. He was a person of big Hisiris, big Kaifis, big Kishrinis. That's what Rav Kook was writing about, which got him into such trouble. HaMishpat Ezeh Ha'olach Gam Kein B'Torah Atzma. This Mishpat of this Mahalach of a Talmud Chacham Sheshanu Pirish, this is even in the world of Torah. HaMishpat Ezeh Ha'olach Gam Kein B'Torah Atzma. Not only for the Talmud Chacham that goes away from Yiddishkeit, that goes away from everything. A guy like Trotsky. Yoshka, Mstam Hashem and misses till the end of his life. But whatever, he went away from the Chachamim. But Rav Kook is saying, even in the world of Torah itself, in other words, even if you're Hashem and misses, there's such a thing as Shepiresh that goes away. The female sir. You see? In footnote 9, you have it, came out, all around the bottom, 9?
Yeah.
So he brings here, he explains. Leirach, which Rav Kook really says in a minute himself, but he just says it very clearly here. Leirach ha-noitesh is a Torah b'chlal. Not only somebody that abandons the Torah altogether. Ela ha-noitesh ma'ila mesuyemes shebetorah. It's also, there's also going to come out very bad results when a person is able to be in a certain ma'ila of Torah. He's from, he's able to be, but he's noitesh ma'ilim siyem shebetorah shahi chayiv la'amalba, that he was chayiv to work on, and that he could have worked on, and he abandons that. Nechshav gam kein, Rav Kook is interpreting this also as being in the category of shana upirish. Of shana upirish. Being able to learn something, and running away from it, or being sent away from it. Shemishu mokshir lehigayin nizgav ulas taklus amukik dala rechava, a person who has the ability to think about very deep matters and to look at things listaklus amuk in a very deep way, gdala rechava in a deep and expansive way. Mukhrach lahoitzim na karech lapoil mashiyesh bahachanosel if he erker davke. He must, that's what Rav Kook meant, allowed. He must bring out in some way into reality, into his life, he must bring out, according to his kaychus, lefi erkei davka. It has to be equal to his ability. Ukshiye nizgar, and if that's shut, if that's locked inside, if he's not allowed to, in Torah, if he's not allowed to, bein aide b'chirus atzmai, either because he made that choice himself, it's not for me, I'm not allowed to, it's not good, whatever, I'm not holding by these things, whatever it is. Could be a from reason, a not from reason, whatever it is. Bein ayideachem, or others that told him, threw away the Bilvavi, whatever else it might be, or pushed him away. Bein mitzat sibayis maasiyis chitzayinis, could be spawned for all kinds of reasons that it didn't, sibayis maasiyis chitzayinis, because of things in his life that he just didn't get around to it. He put everything into making more money. Or whatever. They didn't get around to Chachmas Elokim that was burning inside. They didn't. according to other things. Could be because of some decision he made that in his mind, because of what he was taught, he understood that this is not for me, or some achrod that he made in that he decided to stick only to the practical side of Yiddishkeit, the day-to-day meat and potatoes of Judaism. The Yachiv boy, and therefore he stayed in that practical world of Yiddishkeit, regular, so to speak, mainstream, everyday, good, healthy meat and potatoes of Yiddishkeit. And in that world, Yachiv boy, he'll expand in that world. Viadaktik rak binyonim shel hagvul hamukaf amayisin. He's medaktik only in those things that themselves are have boundaries and limitations. The digdukim of halacha. So Cook says lo yishpa b'zeh tzimayin hapnimi. He will not quench the inner thirst. The initial umlal v'yave shall remain arachmanis umlal. How do you translate umlal? Rachmanis, I don't know. V'yavesh, and dry. This is such a powerful sentence. And I've met so many characters like this over the years. Wonderful, holy people. Umlolim and yaveshim. Rachmanis. Umlolim and yaveshim. Dried out. It's a brach and a mention. Even though they were not, they were 100%, not only were they shomer mitzvahs, but they were very, very medaktik in mitzvahs. Very medaktik in mitzvahs. They were so medaktik in mitzvahs, it could be they made everybody in their lives crazy. That's so medaktik in mitzvahs, because they were putting in all of their karchas into something that has a gvul. Into something which has a boundary. Because they weren't learning chokhmas, they were learning the pnimius, which is Ein Sof. And they never had a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Ein Sof. So even though the Torah is an ocean, but that person found himself treading water in one inyan. I'm telling you the truth, there was a kuntres of like 50 pages on the table in the Sram store, in the inyan of sneezing in halacha. Yeah. Somebody in Eretz Yisrael wrote a kuntres on the inyan of sneezing. In sneezing in halacha. So I know everybody's thinking right now, well, maybe I'm sneezing not like a halacha. I didn't know there were any hilchos sneezing. Yeah, it's a kuntres. You don't know when you see it to laugh or to cry. So on the one hand, you could say, oh, it's a gewaldige thing. I mean, here you have, look how Yiddishkeit is everything. Even something like that. You could write a 50-page kuntres on the inyan of sneezing in Yiddishkeit. You know, even in this inyan, there's so much Yiddishkeit is such a big thing. That's the nice part of it. The sad part of it is, this guy was sitting around like, for 2-3 years thinking about sneezing in halach. That's sad. It means this person probably is a big balkishu, talented person with big kaiches. And for some reason, it could be he had a problem sneezing, his kid had a problem sneezes a lot, or didn't sneeze, whatever it is. And for whatever reason, this Indian, he said, you know, I don't know yet of any safer. He went online, he said there was no safer on the Indian of sneezing. So this is a way to make his wife proud and his parents proud. So he sat down for a year or two and he wrote a kuntres b'inyan sneezing. So, what do you say? So somebody would say it's a gewaldige thing that he's such a, and they'll say, yeah, but didn't Reb Chaim Kanevsky write like hundreds of pages on Egla Rufa? So the answer to that is Reb Chaim Kanevsky is Kol HaTorah Kula. That's from on top of the mountain, and Reb Chaim Kanevsky could stop at any place down in the valley, and he could write on the spot hundreds of pages. He just sits there; he doesn't even take down Svarim from the shelf. You know that? He just writes. He wasn't busy that afternoon. Just kidding. He was always busy. He felt, for whatever reason, you know, there's an Indian. Okay, I'll take the day off and I'll write a little bit on 300 pages on Egla Rufa. That's not the same thing as this guy that spent 2 years running around to yeshivas and libraries and the and going to Hebrew University to look at things and websites and to find out about sneezing, so you can write a kuntres and show everybody you made a little booklet on sneezing. The Chaim Kinesi is from on top of the mountain. But every single thing in Torah is big. It's true. Everything in Torah is big. A person has such kaiches. But he gave over that infinite part of himself into something that was very limited. And by doing that, he made himself into an umlal v'yavesh. Doesn't always see, you don't always see on the outside, but they're wise now. Umlal v'yavesh, achmanis, a yavesh, a dry person. A dry person. And the nefesh doesn't have an opportunity to come out. Not only in the intellectual side of learning, the kishrin of the soul, which would also affect his davening and his simchas achayim. It's not just he didn't learn what he could have learned. That's the whole point here. It's not just there's a pgam. It's not just that he could have known so much more and he doesn't know it. No. That's one basic problem. The simcha, the dveikis, the davening, the being a father, the being a husband, the being a wife, the being a mother, the being a friend, so many things. It's all tied into that. B'chol kedusha u'shleimus pnimus. And all kedusha and shleimus pnimus is stifled. And because of that stifling, it comes out either in a craziness, in some craziness, or he could be a talmud chacham shoshanu pirish in a different way. And what is it? So he writes a kutras in the Indian of sneezing. Again, I don't know this person. Could be he's learning also other things. And I'm just using it as a marshal. It shouldn't be, God forbid, about such a person. I don't mean in a bad way about that person. I'm only using it as a marshal. Could be he's, I don't know. I didn't even say a name of anybody. So I'm not saying God forbid if anybody hears this. I'm not chas v'shalom. I don't mean bad about that person. I'm using only as a marshal. It's not just a matter of the mind that could have expanded and could have gotten other things. But the simchas achayim. Again, using it only as a marshal. The sneezer. The sneezer doesn't seem to be so happy usually when he's dancing at his friend's chasna either. That's how it is with the sneezers. With the, you know, that type. They don't seem to be so happy. You could also take it to and say, do you hold this as a din of Simchas Chasna Kala right now? Yeah? I think it's a machlokes rishonim, whether we're supposed to be dancing now. Like you'll have the some of the from the Litvaks that on Shabbos, they're nervous to dance, you know. The Ramah gets them so scared, they're afraid to dance. And the Mechav and the Ramah, without going into the halachs, I've spoken about the halachs before. So maybe we're not, so you know what? We'll shuffle instead. So we'll do a little yeshivas walk. And this way we could be part of the Shabbos Shavu Brachos, but we're not in violation of anything in halacha. Okay, like they say, you could hear such a thing, but I don't want to be with that Chevron Olam Habi, you know what I mean? And I might be with worse. There was a chassid Yid that I knew that when I grew up, he was a very, very big Talmud Chacham, very funny. He's like this big, a gingy, a lebedeke, an unbelievable person. I still talk to him sometimes. So, you know, we were very close. He's around 10 years older than me, very close. And when I was growing up, and he was older than me, and we used to learn a lot together. So by the chassim, sometimes you'll see chassim that they'll talk prost to Lashon Hara about another rabbi, you know what I'm saying? But I don't mean like a vak. I mean Lashon Hara deraisa. So I was learning with him, and a name came up over here, and it said something like that, I don't know, to say. And he said such a Lashon Hara about a certain rabbi who's not alive. I mean, a big tzaddik who's not alive. And I said, well, are you out of your mind? What are you talking like that? He said, oh, Chamaisha, Halte, he's a big tzaddik. Let me tell you something, this is Chamaisha, he's a tzaddik. And, you know, he started with these things, because it was from the other Rebbe that was with his Rebbe. And I, all right. So, I said, how can you talk like that? I said, that, and I said, that's Lashon Hara. You're saying Lashon Hara about a tzaddik. He said, do me a favor, Chamaisha. Do me a favor. With the Lashon Hara. He said, I'd rather sit in Gehenna. This is what he told me. I'd rather sit in Gehenna with my Oilam telling over my sin with this Lashon Hara than to sit with all of you Litvaks. And he told me, to sit with all of you Litvaks in Gan Eden, the Rambam souls, the Bible. That's what he said to me. I said, if I took you seriously, I'd never talk to you again. What are you talking about? He said, yeah. I'd rather sit with my chaver. We could have some kugel and we have a good time. And what he was saying, he was trying to give me more, so don't be such a stiff guy, which wasn't taken. I didn't take that well because I don't consider myself a stiff guy. I just felt it was Lashon Hara about a tzaddik. But he holds that tzaddik is not a tzaddik, and he felt like he could say whatever he wants. But that idea, I've thought about, not what he did, that was bad, but I've thought about that over the years, about, you know, who you want to end up with, like which chevra you want to end up with, like at the end, you know, you want to spend the rest of eternity with. And that wasn't such a bad word, that part. I don't mean to be chashom the gehenim, but if you're with the wrong chevra, that's a gehenim anyway. And if you're with the right chevra, it's a shtukul gan eden, no? Even if you're in a bad place, but if you're with your chevra there, you can have a good time. I've had that in life. You're in the wrong place, but you're with the right chaver. You have a good time. Could be that's what we're doing right now. We're not in Yerushalayim, we're in Woodmere. But we're having a nice time, so it's not bad. You could have some hanah from that. But to be even if you're sitting 10 feet away from the kaisel, but you're not with your chaver, oi, that's bad. That's bad if you're not with your chaver. Lolum v'yaveshim, the dryness and the sadness of Jews, that's what Rav Kook is talking about. It's not just a matter of how much they didn't learn, they could have learned. It's what happens to your whole life. And all the Kedushin and Shleimus are Pnimis. So I guess this is a point where we'll stop here. And Mr. Sherman, I hope that in good health that we'll be able to, should be that Shavuot Thomas and Tisha B'Av should become days that are happy. Amen. Well, we should be able to, it would be wonderful. One of the sweetest experiences I had this whole year was when we were able to be with some of the chevra together in Yerushalayim. We were learning with Cook on a Friday morning in Yerushalayim. So we should be zeichem Hashem to finish this by the kaisel. We'll do it by the mechitza, so we can have the girls over there. We'll have a little shiur there, and the old Yerushalmis will say, "What's going on over here?" That'll be fun. No, we'll make a whole thing over there with the mechitza. We'll have fun over there with our chevra together in good health and the good Hashem v'amikus.